Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Tuesday, April 17th. And today we're reading from the Big Book and we are studying page 30, the fourth paragraph, which begins with, "We are like men who have lost their legs," through one paragraph ending with, "but hasn't done so yet." The reference number for Monday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 23364. That's 23364. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting for Tuesday, April 14th, is 23366. That's 23366. DOA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Susan G. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. Susan G. in Tennessee, recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me give some service, and I pass.
Thank you, Luann C. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only, please. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 30, the fourth paragraph, and I will now ask Dana P. to please begin reading that. So I want to unmute, Dana.
Elaine?
I'm sorry, Elaine. I was having some trouble
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I'm sorry to interrupt. I don't think, did we do the traditions and I missed it? I'm so sorry.
Oh, did we do the traditions? Luann C. You know what? I may have gone right through it. I think so. Luann, will you read the 12 traditions for us? We'll get a double dose if I messed up.
Oh, thank you. thanks for letting me serve. I'm Luann C., and I'm just so grateful to be recovered in Boise, Idaho today. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me serve today.
Thank you so much for your service and my sincere apologies. Why does that song, Slow Down, You Move Too Fast, run through my mind right now? Okay, now I will love for Dana P. to please begin reading our text today.
Thank you, Elaine. Thank you for your service. I'm Dana P. I'm in California. We are like men who have lost their legs. They never grow new ones. Neither does there appear to be any kind of treatment which will make alcoholics of our kind like other men. We have tried every imaginable remedy. In some instances, there have been brief recovery, followed always by a still worse relapse. Physicians who are familiar with alcoholism agree that there is no such thing as making a normal drinker out of an alcoholic. Science may one day accomplish this, but it hasn't done so yet. Thank you for allowing me to read this amazing paragraph. And there's so many directions that I could go with it. What I'd like to share is, you know, we could talk about alcohol and all the different treatments and what's working, and now they're the ibogaine and the psychedelics, and you know those things are effective. But what they're effective in treating is the trauma response, not the drinking. The drinking is just a symptom. And on page 103, it talks about, you know, bottles are just a symbol. I think a symptom, right? Same for me, compulsively eating, throwing up, compulsively exercising, all of those things are a symptom of a spiritual malady. You know, I had a spiritual malady. I have a spiritual malady if I'm not working a program, if I'm not especially practicing 10, 11, and 12 on a daily moment-by-moment basis. I'm not in fit spiritual condition, and I don't even walk out the door. You know, I don't even do anything, turn on the stove or open a cupboard, I'll bump my head. You know, I have to be in fit spiritual condition before I start my day. And it made me think this men who have lost their legs. I had an Uncle Pat who lost his legs. And I'm not sure the situation, but of course, Bill was in the war, so he's thinking about these things. And my uncle had wooden legs. He also lived in the mountains. And you would think having wooden legs would be a problem, but you know, he used to always say, well, when rattlesnakes go to bite me, they don't hurt me. And that's kind of how I look at this, you know. So it's a bummer that I have this disease of
compulsive overeating or whatever it is. My friend says there's an anorexia gene, which I believe. Whatever it is, you know, I am so grateful because it keeps the snakes at bay. When I'm working the program that is outlined in this book about Alcoholics Anonymous. So thank you so much for allowing me to do service this morning, and I'll pass it back.
Thank you so much, Dana P. So appreciate you getting us started here. So we'll now take a lineup. Although we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you would like to comment on page 30, paragraph, the fourth paragraph, please give me your name.
Chanel T.
Stephen G.
Eileen M. I heard somebody before Eileen M. I think it's a gentleman.
Stephen G.
And who came in after Eileen M.?
Peggy W.
Peggy W. Anyone else?
Did you get Chanel?
I got Chanel T.
Okay. It's my hearing today. My apologies.
Why don't you go ahead and share with us, and we'll take some more lineup later on, okay? So please share with us, Chanel.
Great.
And you'll be followed by Stephen
G. Can you tell I'm selfish and self-centered, and I want to make sure I was heard? Isn't that funny? Hi, I'm Chanel T. I'm a grateful and recovered compulsive eater, not cured, but grateful and recovered today in Washington State. And that is all by the grace of my higher power, I choose to call God. You know, there's a reason we spent four chapters, including doctor's opinion, on step one. I have to work step one every day. That is not an option for me. I cannot forget at any moment, and I have a brain. Part of my disease is that my brain will tell me that I don't have the disease, or I don't have it that bad, or I can do this. And it's often it's behaviors. It's really not foods as much anymore. Of course, it would lead to that. It's the behaviors now that will, I'll get this liar in my head saying, in my own voice saying, "Nah, you can do that. You can do that." And the thing is, you know, talking about regaining control before this one, but also the have lost their legs, they never grow new ones. I don't think I ever had those legs of a normal eater, and how it says that there's no such thing as making a normal drinker out of an alcoholic. I never wanted to be a normal eater. I wanted to eat and get the elusive effect that comforted me. I'm an ease and comfort seeking missile without any consequence. That's really what I wanted. Yeah, sure, I didn't want to have to diet. I didn't want to have to go pay money for this, that, or the other remedy that wasn't a remedy. I didn't want to pass out from blood sugar crashes that I caused myself from a pretty young age, very young age. I didn't want all that, but I wanted that effect. I always wanted the effect. Others around me, my family included, just didn't seem to even need. Well, it turns out they had other addictions, so it was satisfied in that way. But the people who are just normal, quote unquote, like one of my brothers, muggles, as we like to call them sometimes, they didn't seem to need it. Yeah, no, I didn't strive for that. I just didn't. What I did strive for, though, was to control and enjoy. We talked about that a couple paragraphs ago. I wanted to control and enjoy. Control in the sense that not go into the crazy exercise in order to be able to eat that day. I wanted to be able to just, okay, well, I'll just be able to not exercise and still eat that way today. That's really what I was seeking because I didn't know how to live life. And so in some instances, there's been brief recovery followed always by a still worse relapse. Yeah, my whole life was a relapse. I was never abstinent before January 18th of 2023, not a single day. And I'm not sure I was honestly trying to be, but only when I was completely out of ideas and I was at the end of me. Someone reminded me of this morning in something she sent me, that you know I was able to allow the grace of a space between a higher power, act as if that higher power would take care of me when it comes to the food, lay every food and behavior down long enough to just work the steps anyway, as if they might work, as if my higher power would take care of me. And it's been miraculous. Perfect in the sense of life being perfect? Of course not. but I work step one every day by working all the steps every day, 10, 11, and 12 is all the steps together. And my higher power does all the heavy lifting. It's incredible. I wouldn't trade it. I'm so grateful. I don't want that other effect anymore. I want this effect, this effect of the steps and the miracles. Thank you so much for that. I'll pass.
Thank you so much for that, Chanel T. Stephen G., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Eileen M. Please share with us, Stephen.
Hi, good morning. I'm Stephen G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. So the previous paragraph says, you know, we compulsive overeaters are men and women who've lost the ability to control our eating. This paragraph is telling us that we are like men who've lost their legs. They never grow new ones. And the book teaches us this problem as two parts, allergy of the body, obsession of the mind. And it's permanent. It's not going anywhere. It's progressive. It's going to get worse over time. And it's ultimately fatal. And that fatality can come in different ways. For me, my disease is so painful that it will likely come with suicide. Life just becomes unbearable. And the line that says we have tried every imaginable remedy, that was necessary, I think, to prove to ourselves that we actually have this disease, because ultimately we all individually have to accept the diagnosis for ourselves. I had to accept for myself through my own trial and error. Nobody could tell. So there was lots of trial of remedies outside of OA. And then within OA, there was lots of trial of negotiating with the solution. Let me negotiate with this idea of entire abstinence. Let me negotiate with this idea of working the steps, which ones I'll do, which ones I won't. And that was an essential part to realize that there is no other solution but entire abstinence and working the steps to the best of my abilities, and that this illness isn't going anywhere. And but a key piece of information to know that I am not like other people. I needed to know that, and then see the pain and suffering that comes from trying it my way, and then eventually accepting it and being willing to try what the book is suggesting. And lo and behold, my life gets transformed. And although I may not have I may have lost my legs, quote unquote, and never grow new ones, I can walk just like everybody else, one day at a time. I can live a normal life one day at a time, and actually a better life than when I was not in recovery, so long as I follow these instructions. Follow these instructions one day at a time. So very grateful. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Stephen G. Eileen M., you're up next. Please share with us.
Good morning, Elaine. My name is Eileen M., and I'm gratefully recovered in New Hampshire. And, I can so relate to, in some instances, there has been brief recovery followed always by still worse relapse. I can relate to that, because that was when I was, you know, before I got recovered, the approach that I was taking was using the food plan and the tools only, which, you know, those things are very helpful. But, you know, like was said before, they only treat the symptoms, really. It wasn't treating the spiritual malady. And I didn't even know that, you know. I didn't know what I didn't know, basically. I got a phone call this morning to join some friends who I don't really know very well. They're going down to southern New Hampshire for some event, and they're like, oh, Eileen, come on with us. You know, we're going to go and have fun, and it's a beautiful day. And, you know, no idea where they're going for lunch or when, right? And I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, I have to have a plan. You know, I've got to have a plan for that. And why? You know, because I'm not like other people when it comes to food and eating. I am not like, I don't know what normal is, but I'm just not like other people. And, you know, they're the type of people who can just wing it. They can just go away for a whole day and just wing it, you know. And so, you know, because, you know, I do anything to protect my abstinence, you know. And why? Is because, you know, I've got to keep that connection with my higher power open. You know, got to keep that channel open. And the reason I have to do that is because I can't manage my life. And I'm convinced of that. You know, I can't manage my life, but God can. You know, and I'm so grateful for this program because, yeah, you know, science has accomplished these weight loss drugs, which are wonderful, you know. But like was said before, it doesn't treat the problem because, you know, when you get off the drugs and you've lost weight, you still have the problem. And I'm so grateful for what we have. You know, we've got the steps and we've got this wonderful meeting. This meeting is wonderful because it's got the solution. And I'm so grateful for it. And thank you, Elaine, for your service.
Thank you so much, Eileen M. Okay, Peggy W. is up next. And after Peggy, we're going to take another lineup of people who would like to comment on page 30. We're on the fourth paragraph, which starts with, we're like men who've lost their legs, and ends with, but it hasn't done so yet. Please share with us, Peggy W.
Hi, Peggy W. from Wisconsin. Yeah, I really like this. I like this a lot. I have to remind myself every morning when I get up and do my quiet time that I am a compulsive overeater. I have no control over my eating. And so I have to run with the theory that I have to get with my higher power every day, surrender every day, and be willing every day to not want to grow my legs back. I actually am enjoying being in this program and getting a connection to my higher power. This is the first time I've ever worked the steps. I'm on step two. I think we're finishing up today and I'm going into step three, but it's this book is kind of amazing. It makes me want to be a better person. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Peggy W. Appreciate your share. Okay. Although we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third meeting in order that others might share their experience too. So if you would like to comment on page 30, paragraph 4, please let us know. We'll take a lineup.
Wendy M.
Sarah M.
I got Wendy M. and Sarah from New Jersey.
Sarah N.
I-A-P. Yeah.
Sarah N. and Hiya P.
Sue from New Jersey.
Sue from New Jersey. What's the first initial of your last name, Sue?
T.
Sue T. Okay. Anybody else want to get in the lineup? I've got Wendy M., Sarah N., Shaya P., and Sue P. Okay, well, let's go with this lineup, and then we'll have some more people join us later on. Wendy M., please share with us, and you're followed by Sarah N.
Yes, good morning. Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Elaine, thank you for your service and everybody who does service on this line. Yeah, so I have to say I'm an addict, so you're not, you know, you've got to do a lot to get my attention. And they've got, like, smashed, death, new legs. I'm reading this going, not so much. And you know, the words aren't going to convince me. I mean, it's helpful and this book is incredible and has transformed me in many ways. But these warnings, you know, that you're the real deal, I'm like, maybe, right? But then I turn to page 48 and this is where the rubber meets the road. This is what convinces me. I'm on my knees because faced with eating destruction, I became open-minded on spiritual matters, right? In this respect, my eating behavior, my unmanageability of my life was a great persuader. It finally beat me into a state of reasonableness, right? So that's the deal. The deal is when I'm on my knees, it's because my life is so unmanageable, right? All of my remedies, all of my ways of trying to human aid, right? Like books, therapy, shots, diets, not diets, over-exercise. And we've all said it. We all know what we're talking about, you know, the obsession. But finally, the thing that God does is God brings me to my knees. God makes my life so unmanageable. And I'm not just talking about the food or being overweight or any of that, I'm trying to control. You know, God makes me selfish enough, right? It says on 62, selfish, self-centered. That is the root of my troubles. And it will kill me. God makes it possible. So God gets my attention when I'm on my knees, not necessarily when I'm told that I'm going to lose my legs, because I don't buy it. You know, I'm a 30-40 pounder. You know, I don't buy that. My life is okay until it's not. And God makes my selfishness so extreme, right? Thank God that I have to get on my knees and I have to be beaten into a state of reasonableness. And I have to be the one to say, I cry uncle, you're right, God, I'm done. I'm done. And you know, somebody else said, you know, I'm not like other people. I'm going on a trip. I weigh and measure my food on the plane because there's no, you know, there's no kitchen there for me to binge in, right? I have to weigh and measure my food. And when I'm on my trip, I have to bring weighed and measured food to the beach, you know. That food isn't mine. That alcohol isn't mine, right? And what do we get when we get on our knees and say, cry uncle, dear God, I need your help? Right? I get freedom, right? That's the funny thing. It says here, we'll always be a pickle, never, or whatever it is, not a cucumber. But the truth of the matter is, ironically, by getting on my knees and saying, I'm done, you've got me, God, you know, take me over, you know, it's then that I have the transformation. I actually do change, right? This is a revolutionary change within all of us. We finally get to come home to our maker. I finally get to make decisions that are aligned with my maker and not aligned with Wendy, right? And that is the great freedom we get when I weigh and measure my darn food and I bring it on the plane and I don't get to eat an extra meal because, you know, it's 4-hour difference. Like, all of that is nonsense in my head that will kill me. So fortunately, my life became so unmanageable, and it continues to be unmanageable sometimes. And that's when I get God. When I cry and say, I can't, you can. I think I'll let God. And with that, I pass.
Perfect timing. Thank you very much, Wendy M. Sarah N., you're up next, followed by Cher C. Star 1 to unmute. Sarah H.? No, Sarah M., sorry.
Good morning. This is Sarah, and I am a compulsive overeater in Sacramento, California. And I lurked on this meeting for months, and then I finally got a sponsor and have been working the program for the past several weeks and have been too scared to share, even though I've shared for 20 years in other forms of OA. So I relate to, I hear background noise. I relate to everything in this paragraph. A lot of my remedies have been within OA. I have had a prolonged weight loss, but I have never had a relief of the obsession of the mind, and I have never had a feeling of it being God and not me. So I was trying to make a normal drinker out of a compulsive overeater, and science may accomplish this, but I hadn't accomplished this. I am experiencing a relief in these past few weeks beyond anything I ever have, just a freedom, a peace, a sense of not doing this alone after being in these rooms for 20 years, and I'm so grateful. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sarah Ann, cheering you on. Shaya P., you're up next, followed by Sue in Tennessee.
Hi, everyone. My name is Chaya P., very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, and bulimic and restrictor. I am about to officially be living in New Jersey. I'm on my way there. So I'll be packing up my food for the plane as well today to take care of myself. I want to welcome anyone who's new to Overeaters Anonymous, or maybe you're new to this Overeaters Anonymous meeting that we call A Vision for You. It's not a separate program. It's just a meeting that really focuses on the solution that we find in the big book. So just welcome. You're just really welcome here. And if the God talk freaks you out a little bit like it did me in the beginning, it's, you know, don't let that be a deterrent to recovery. You don't have to believe in any specific God, or this is not a religious program. It's really about spirituality and connecting with a power greater than you that can, that you can rely on. So welcome. You know, I was listening to the meeting earlier today, the, I guess, the 8 a.m. meeting Eastern time, and someone was talking about, you know, focusing on the, where it talks, you know, in the beginning of the paragraph that we read about, you know, we're like, you know, men have lost their legs, they never grow new ones. And, you know, she's saying it's really okay to not have those legs, it's fine, you know, what we have. And what I was thinking as she was saying that was, we get wings. You know, it's like a man who's lost his legs, he never grows new ones. He can't. He has to have prosthetics or some other thing to help him walk. We get wings. You know, I, to be able to really, it says even in later on in the book, when we get to step 11, it talks about our thought life will be on a much higher plane, you know, that we are able to be in a different realm. And I'm so grateful for that. And, you know, I know when it's talking about the never grow new ones, it's like, you know, like maybe it's already been mentioned today, you know, a cucumber, once it turns into a pickle, it can't go back to being a cucumber, right? Like I have this, it's the way I equate this for me, the metaphor that works for me is spiritual type 1 diabetes. A person who has type 1 diabetes will never not have type 1 diabetes. They will always need support in gaining, in helping their pancreas, you know, because that pancreas doesn't create insulin, they need insulin. And so they have to have other means so that they can live a full life. And for me, I have type 1 spiritual diabetes in the form of compulsive eating and some of the other ways that I tried to manage it. And my insulin is step 12. Practicing the principles of the 12 steps in my life and carrying the message to others, which I hope I'm doing in some small way right now. And in order to do step 12, I have to do 1 through 9 and stay really clear and a clear channel in 10 and 11. I don't do it gracefully sometimes. I don't do it perfectly, but this is my insulin. And just like someone who lost their legs, they'll never grow new ones, or someone who has type 1 diabetes, they'll never have a pancreas that makes insulin. I need my spiritual insulin, and that is in the form of the 12 steps, specifically the 12 step. And I'm just so, so grateful that I came here looking to find a way to stop binging, purging, sticking my finger in my, down my throat, and being obsessed with my weight. And what I got were wings. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Haya, and sorry for the mispronouncing your name. Sue T, you are up next. Sue T, in New Jersey, rather.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you. I'm Sue. I recovered from compulsive eating, anorexia, and bulimia. And, yeah, I love this paragraph because it reminds me of when they speak about that lack of power was our dilemma, right? So to me, the food is a quarter down. You commit your food or you eat, and three quarters is doing God's will, right? So if you commit your food in the morning and you run on self-will all day, then you're definitely going back to compulsive eating. I can't, my lack of power is that I can't run my days the way that I used to before I came into recovery. My lack of power is my lack of power in my life totally, right? So I always say that, you know, if I, you know, I check during the day to see if I am running on self-will, because I don't want to go back to compulsive eating, right? The quarter is the food. Three quarters is concentrating on, okay, pausing, asking God what's next. Like, I don't have any legs when it comes to planning my day. It says we use our brains, that God gave us an intellect, but I always ask for God's guidance as to how he wants me to execute these things. Should I do it today? Should I do it tomorrow? When baffled, I ask him for direction. And that's how you stay sober in the 12 steps, right? I need his protection. It's like staying under an umbrella. I have to stay under the umbrella not to get wet. And if I think that I can turn my food over and go to meetings and then run my life the way I want to during the day, well, I'm fooling myself because I'm going back to compulsive eating. So I have no power. And that was my dilemma. So as long as I try to keep in good spiritual condition, I'll be protected. And that's by pausing and asking God for direction during the day. And then actually, just obviously, it's a much happier life. But I need that to stay sober. And there's no way of me going back. And it says there's no such thing as making a normal drinker out of an alcoholic. Okay, there's no way of me changing my life and saying, okay, well, I'll just go back to the life that I had before I came in and recovered, and I'll be able to run my life, and I'll be fine as long as I weigh and measure my food and go to meetings. No, it doesn't work that way. So when you turn your will and your life over to the care of God, you know, you experience great miracles and peace like I never experienced before. So, okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, Sue T. We have time for three more shares. Who would like to comment today?
Terry K.
Stephanie F.
Terry K.
Patricia P.
And Patricia P. Thank you. And just get these names down. All right. Terry K., please share with us. You'll be followed by Stephanie F. and Patricia P.
This is Terry K. Can I be heard?
You sound great.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, this is an interesting reading today about we don't grow new legs. And I have a kind of strange shifted perspective on it because my dad, when he was living, had a amputation and a prosthetic leg, and he as a result gained some strengths in other areas, you know, like his upper body, because you have to use your arms a lot to move yourself around. And it made me start to think about how when somebody, and I mean these are generalizations that are not scientifically evidenced, but you know how if somebody in theory doesn't have sight, their hearing gets better. If they don't have hearing, their sight gets better. And so when, you know, as a compulsive overeater, you know, this spiritual deficit that I have in my body and my mind because of my disease, it forces me to get stronger in other areas, specifically my relationship with God and spiritually. And, you know, it's a kind of a gift, right, that I won't ever grow new legs. So to me, that means I won't ever have the fullness and completeness of a whole person without my higher power. So I don't know, it's a little tangled up, but that's all. Thanks, I pass.
Oh, thank you very much, Terry K. Stephanie F., you are up next. Please share with us.
Hi, this is Stephanie F. from California. Thanks for everyone's service. I really like this paragraph because it reminds me of how serious the disease is. And I know a lot of people have said it, but, you know, that whole idea of we've lost our legs and we can't grow legs again. Like I am a compulsive overeater and I need to accept that. And I'm not going to be able to get better. Like I can't go back to being a normie. And for me, it was a progressive illness. I tried everything coming into the rooms, so many things, books and diets and hypnosis, things like that, and nothing worked. And the first time that I went through the steps, I went through them with the sponsor. I had come from another program, and I went through them in a way that helped me recognize that I was a compulsive overeater. I belonged here, but I didn't have any connection to my higher power. And so this time that I'm going through the steps with my sponsor, I have a strong connection. She talked about what you guys say here, putting my hand in my higher power's hand. And I do have that now. And I couldn't have done it without my higher power putting the food down. And this last sentence, over any considerable period, we get worse, never better. And I would get a little better and then I get significantly worse. I would put on more weight and my behaviors of eating were even worse. And so thanks to my higher power and this meeting, I have that connection, and I am abstinent, gratefully, and with that, I'll pass. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Stephanie. Patricia P., you're up next. Please share with us.
This is Patricia P. from Michigan. I've been in and out of OA and Visions. It's my first time sharing, but in my case, I've gotten up to 189 pounds, but in my case, I tend to lose a lot of my teeth, end up having to take even my two molars out. And so my postures weren't fitting, so I had to be humble myself, and I'm being showing with my two front teeth not showing. I only have two bottom teeth to chew. It's taking hours to eat my food. Just can't wait till I get my dentures. But thanks to everybody that's on this line, and I'm just glad I have the recovery for now, one day at a time. Thank you. That's all I have to share.
Thank you so much, Patricia P. Anybody have a burning desire? We may have time for another one or two shares.
Dion R.
And I think there might be time for two. So, anybody else? Well, why don't you share with us Dion R, and we'll check again, okay?
Donna B.
Oh, I got Donna B.
Yes. And how many minutes will I have?
I think you should have 3 minutes.
Oh, perfect. Thank you.
Excellent. So, Dion, please share with us, and then Donna B. will be next. Thank you.
Yes. Hi. Good morning, family. This is Dion R., very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. I could not jump in. I've been on the 7, the 8, and then listening to the 10 o'clock, you know, and what I got most out of what someone just said, that just melted my heart. No, we don't grow new legs, but we get wings to fly, you know, and that's what this program has given me, wings to fly above it all. And when I get tired of flying, I just rest in my higher power's arms, and he always guides me to safely to soar. And when I soar, that's just one of those feelings I can't explain. But I'm thankful for all the ones who trudged the road before us to show me the way, starting with Bill and Bob, you know, and Dr. Silkworth and many others. So just being able to soar, that's a gift, and I never thought I'd get that. It's like no matter what, I'm safe in God's hands, and as long as I keep tapping in every day, working the steps and trusting him with my food, my life, my health, my family, my spirituality, all that, you know. And so thank you, God. I just want to say thank you, God, and thank you, OA, for the wings to fly. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for your service.
Thank you, Dion R. Dana B., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Donna B., Donna spelled D-A-N-A. Calling from Denver, Colorado. I'm a compulsive overeater, bulimic, and restrictor. And the truth is that I just wanted to get on the line and say my name and say that I'm here, that this program has enriched and expanded my life beyond my wildest dreams, as we say. And it's so important for me to be a part of the fellowship. It reminds me of who I am and what I've been placed on this earth to do, which is to be of maximum service to God and to my fellows. And I just wanted to be a part of the community this morning out loud, so that people know my name and feel comfortable reaching out to me, so that we can work this program together. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna B. Okay, we do have time for one burning desire. Who'd like to take it?
Hillary B.
Hillary B., please share with us.
Hi, everyone. It just occurred to me, I'm Hillary B., a compulsive overeater, died in the wall. And it says we are like men who have lost their legs, we never grow new ones. I would like to say it just occurred to me in listening to everyone share that I feel like I did lose my legs and I have grown new ones. It's a miracle, and that's how it feels that my life is today, with a kind of freedom that I never had, with a more freedom of movement than I ever had, with a more freedom to see my own shortcomings and how I cause my own misery, like my troubles truly are of my own making. I was so paralyzed in life before that. I was so thinking my joy was dependent on other people, places, and things, and especially food. Oh my gosh, food was my delight, my entertainment, my joy, my lover, my everything. That's what brought me joy. What a narrow life that was. It was, you know, and now I have such freedom of movement physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. I'm so grateful. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much, Hillary B. We'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Ann C.H. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. My name is Ann S.A.H. I'm a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in British Columbia, Canada. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something that you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.